When wisdom does not fit. Proverbs chapter 26 is filled with things out of place. Snow in summer, rain during harvest, honour given to a fool, a stone fastened into a sling, a proverb spoken by someone who refuses its wisdom, and shining metal spread over cheap pottery. The chapter's deeper concern is not simply foolish behaviour, it is incongruity, the distance between appearance and reality, speech and character, profession and practice. In Hebrew, the fool here is not someone of limited intelligence. The word kesel describes a person hardened against correction. Such a person may be clever, religious, eloquent, and certain. Indeed, the chapter's most alarming line is that there is more hope for an ordinary fool than for someone wise in his own eyes. The gravest folly is the conviction that folly belongs only to others. Wisdom is not an algorithm. Verses 4 and 5 deliberately place opposite commands together. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, and answer him according to his folly. This is not a contradiction to be solved, but wisdom's refusal to become a formula. Sometimes answering draws us into another person's bitterness. Sometimes silence allows deception to parade as truth. Jesus embodied both responses. He remained silent before malicious accusations, yet answered other traps by exposing the false assumptions beneath them. Matthew chapter 26, verses 62 through 63, chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. The question is not merely, do I have a reply? But, will this reply make truth clearer, protect my neighbour, and leave me more like Christ? Not Sieg. A proverb in a fool's mouth is compared to a thorn in a drunkard's hand. Truth itself can become a weapon when held by an unhealed heart. Knowing biblical sentences is not the same as becoming wise. Scripture must travel from the lips into the life. The Inner Council. The sluggard considers himself wiser than seven discerning counselors. Seven often suggests completeness in biblical literature. Laziness has therefore formed an entire imaginary council within him, unanimously approving his excuses. Later, the malicious person hides seven abominations in the heart. Self-deception is rarely empty. It constructs a whole inner world in which we are always innocent. Gossip works similarly. Its dainty morsels descend into the innermost parts, literally the belly or inner chamber. We do not merely hear gossip, we consume it. It becomes an appetite, shaping how we see another person long after the words are forgotten. The silver-coated clay vessel offers the chapter's final warning. In the ancient world, common pottery could be covered so that it appeared more precious than it was. Warm speech may likewise conceal a cold heart. But the gospel offers more than a better coating. Christ does not polish our disguises. By his Spirit, he makes the inner and outer person one. Consider, where are you using true words to avoid truthful living? What quarrel would die today if you simply stopped supplying the wood? Suggested cross-references. Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 through 37, James chapter 1, verses 19 through 22, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. Him, take my life and let it be. Prayer. Lord Jesus, true wisdom of God, expose every polished disguise within me. Make my heart teachable, my silence loving, and my speech both courageous and pure. Let your word become flesh in my habits, not merely sound upon my lips. Amen.